What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe, and today we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. So broadcasting live from New York City, my home. I was away for about 20 years in Florida, and now I'm back. And so I'm super excited to be here. And it is now National Nutrition Month. And so we're going to talk about nutrition today. Such a hot button topic, such a controversial topic, such a confusing topic, and a topic that is something that we didn't learn in medical school, believe it or not, right? But we had to learn kind of on our own after medical school if we were interested, right? And in the field of integrative medicine, nutrition is probably the biggest foundation of health outside of breathing and having your heartbeat. And so I spent a lot of years studying nutrition and working with registered dietitians and learning as much as I possibly could. Also studied nutrition through the field of traditional Chinese medicine, which has a very unique and important message regarding nutrition that I think is missing in our allopathic model and even in our Western integrative model. So we're gonna talk about that today. And so I'm looking forward to your questions, your comments as always. So it's been a while since we've been live, so it's really great to be back. So looking forward to the interaction. And so, you know, what is nutrition, right? People, we toss around the word, we toss around the word diet. People don't like the word diet. You know, it feels like a weight loss thing. And so nutrition is the better term because it really means to nourish, right? To nourish yourself, to nourish your body. And we're even nourishing the planet, right? As we help the planet to become more diverse, as we farm. And hopefully if we do that well, if we do that responsibly, if we do it in a way that we are recycling the earth and allowing the earth to recover and remineralize itself, you know, that is the ultimate nourishment, right? So we are nourishing the planet and ourselves and everything on it, right? The earth is a gigantic and important ecosystem, as are we and every other creature that roams the earth or swims in the waters of the earth or crawls around in the dirt of the earth. And so we're all a bunch of little ecosystems contributing to what is the ecosystem of the entire planet, right? And so farming responsibly, fishing responsibly, in a way that is sustainable is critical to proper nutrition. Of course, we haven't done a very good job of that in the last 100 or 2 years, right? We have managed to, unfortunately, pollute our soil, pollute our air, pollute our water, and we are seeing the negative consequences of that, not just for ourselves, but for everyone and everything that is on the planet and the planet itself, right? And I always tell people, don't worry about the planet. The planet will be fine. The planet knows exactly what to do to rid itself of whatever is a nuisance to it. And so it is really up to us to fall in line so that we don't become the nuisance that the planet gets rid of, right? And so how do we do that, right? And so nutrition is a significantly important way to do that. And there are connections with nutrition that we don't make that have a lot to do with the planet, right? The massive amount of medication that we throw away or that is expired or that we have to somehow find a way of recycling out of our homes, right? A lot of that is toxic. A lot of chemicals circulating around, to say nothing of the fact that they're going into our body, right? So things like medication count as nutrition, right? And although some medication is extremely important, I believe what's more important is to make the necessity for those medications obsolete, right? To make the medications obsolete so that they are not necessary, so that we don't have to produce so much, so that we don't have to throw away so much. Right. Even the byproducts as we take those medications, you know, as we, you know, eliminate the waste from that medication, that's polluting the planet as well. Right. And so that doesn't mean you don't take your medication. Right. You always follow your doctor's prescriptions. But we would love to make those medications unnecessary through proper nutrition. Right. So for me, nutrition is the most important preventive way that we can be well, recover our health, and take care of the planet. You know, and again, the planet takes care of itself, right? And so really what we're doing is taking care of our position on the planet, right? So that the planet doesn't decide we shouldn't be here anymore. And so what is nutrition, right? Nutrition is the combination of foods that we take in that become our fuel. Right, that become the fuel that the body uses to power itself, right? So we are a miraculous machine, right? The body, the human body is a miracle. It is a tool that we, that our souls, our spirits use to get around in, just like our bodies get into a car to drive around in, our spirits and souls get into a body to roam around in, right? And so just like we would take care of our cars, we have to take care of the body. One of the most important ways to do that is through nutrition. And so nutrition is really fuel, and that's really all it is. It is simply fuel. You know, we find it to be something entertaining that we do, something fun that we do. So we bring a lot of social aspect into eating. But really fundamentally, what it boils down to is it's just fuel. And it powers the trillions and trillions of cells that we have in the human body. So every single cell that you have, although it's invisible to the naked eye, there's an entire universe in there doing trillions of things for you every hour. So just for you to see out of your eyes requires that billions of cells be working smoothly together, cooperatively, each one of them making their own energy out of the food you eat, so that they can power their function. So in the case of an eye cell, it's vision. It's determining different colors, right? All the colors that we see on the spectrum are because of the eye cells being able to function properly to identify those different colors, right? To identify the frequencies of those different colors coming into itself to send the signal to the brain so that the brain can tell us what we're looking at, right? Night vision. Same thing, right? We start to see the shadows and the different shades of gray at night, right? That's our eye cells working perfectly for us in order to do that. The sharpness, the way that the eyes can focus so that we can see something from far away or close up. Same thing, right? It's the eye cells being able to function in a way that allows the eye to do that. That requires nutrition, right? So when we eat something, what are we doing, right? We might be eating a protein, we might be eating a fat, we might be eating a carbohydrate, right? So the three broad categories of food nutrition are what we call a macronutrient. So proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And a lot of people get confused as to what is what, right? Because many foods have combinations of those three things in them. So for example, you know, quinoa, for example, has all three, has carbs, it has protein, it has a little bit of fat, right? But it's mostly carb, although it does have quite a bit of protein for a grain, right? And so we need all three of them, but in different proportions, right? And so knowing what a protein is super important, knowing what a fat is super important, and knowing what a carb is super important. Oh, here we go. Hi, my old man says, hi, we missed you. How are you doing up north? I'm doing great. Thank you. It was a bit of a bumpy landing, right? So we ended up moving a couple times. But we're here, we're settled now, and we probably will move one more time in the summer, trying to get into Manhattan. And so hopefully we'll have a little more time to do a little better planning and to end up where we want to be. But so far, so good. Thank you so much. It's just great to be home. There's no place like home, right? Statement, I never considered the waste of medication and polluting Mother Earth. Yes, it's a big problem. It's a big problem getting rid of medications and also, you know, household products and all the things that we use, they get dumped back into the planet, right? And so that's really important for us to know when we're selecting cleaning products, when we're selecting makeup, when we're selecting everything that we use, right? Now, of course, we're not going to find natural versions of everything. Because they're just not made anymore. And sometimes they're not as practical. It becomes difficult to have everything be completely natural. But the more that we can reduce the unnatural things, the better off we're going to be. Protein, right? Protein is my favorite macronutrient. You guys hear me talk about protein all the time. I love protein. Protein are, you know, the biggest, broadest category of protein are going to be animal protein. So basically muscles, the muscles of the animals that we are consuming, as well as the organ meats, right? So liver, things like that has a lot of protein and also a lot of fat in it. But if you get like, for example, ground beef, you're going to get protein and fat combined. And then there's vegan protein as well. So soy-based types of protein, hemp-based types of proteins. We can find pea-based protein, those types of things that will have protein in it. Some of those will also have carbs in it. The one thing to distinguish about animal-based protein versus vegan-based protein is to get the same amount of protein, you have to actually eat twice as much vegan-based protein almost to equate to the animal-based protein. So for example, if you're eating 4 ounces of, say, chicken, you probably have to eat at least 8 ounces of tempeh or something else to have the same amount of protein. That can be a little bit challenging for vegans, but you definitely want to be mindful of that because you want to make sure you eat enough protein. The reason I love protein so much is because it's very forgiving as a nutrient. So what I mean by it's very forgiving is if you eat a protein and your body needs to convert it to a carbohydrate to use as fuel, it can very easily do that. Whereas if you need, for example, if you eat a carb, your body doesn't have as many options, right? So if you eat a carbohydrate, you basically have a fork in the road. So it's either that you burn the carbohydrate immediately after it's converted to sugar, or you store it as fat. There's no other choice or option for your body to pick from. So when you eat sugar, so for example, if you have a banana and maybe some strawberries and maybe some ice cream or something like that, right? Or a piece of cake, let's say, right? So those are pure carbohydrates for the most part, right? Now you've consumed about 400 to 500, maybe more calories of carbohydrates, right? So the carbohydrates are going to get converted to sugar in your body. And now your body has to make a choice, right? It either has to burn that fuel or it has to store it as fat. It doesn't have another choice. The reason for that is because your body knows sugar is toxic. I tell people and I tell you guys all the time, everything is a double-edged sword, right? So we need sugar to survive, but sugar is also dangerous, right? And so it's the same with everything in our bodies. We need estrogen, but too much is bad, right? Too little is bad. So we have to have that sweet spot. No pun intended, but the same thing goes for sugar. We have to find the sweet spot. If we eat too much sugar and you're not burning it, so for example, if your body doesn't need all that sugar to go around to perform body functions, and if you're not moving around enough, if you're not exercising enough, that sugar has to go somewhere. It has to be put in a closet, right? It can't just sit around in your bloodstream. It can't just sit around in your cells because it's sticky, it's nasty, it's toxic. And your body knows and understands that. And so if you're not burning that sugar, so if you're not going to burn 500-600 calories in the next 2 hours after you had that piece of cake and the ice cream and the fruit, guess what? You might burn 200. The other 300, you have to store as fat. There's no other choice. Whereas if you eat a protein, and of course you're not going to eat 500 calories worth of a protein, right? We understand that. But if you eat a protein, it's more filling. So you're not going to eat as much because you're going to be full. And then on top of that, your body then will be able to take that protein, and it has a lot more options open to itself. So it's going to break that protein down and use it to make more proteins, right? Or if it needs sugar. So if you didn't eat enough carbs, but your body needs the carbs to convert them into sugar so that it can use it as fuel, it can very easily convert that protein into a carbohydrate, which then gets burned as sugar. And so what you set up then is your body is not going to over make carbs out of protein. That never happens. And so what you do when you eat enough protein is you streamline what the body can do and you allow it to store a lot less fat. It's not going to store as much fat if you're eating enough protein, that can be used as fuel. So there's never a situation where your body's going to break a protein down into a carb and then be like, oops, we didn't need the carb. Let's store it as fat. Like that never happens. It's only going to convert it into a carb if it has a distinct reason for it. And it's going to take that carb, convert it into a sugar, and then power the function that it needed it for. And so that's why I particularly love protein. It's a really good way to stay lean, rev up your metabolism, build muscle mass, build bone structure, and stay lean. And so when we look at nutrition, we tend to overeat carbs and undereat protein. That was partly our fault as medical doctors and scientists. Like we did not know how to measure how much protein people needed. And so we assumed that people needed a lot less protein than they actually did. And with good reason in many ways, right? So we have rendered our protein sources toxic. So we've made poison out of our proteins by the way that we've processed them, by the way that we have treated the animals that are, you know, basically sacrificing their lives for us as food, right? We have abused them, misused them, poisoned them with pesticide-laden food or artificial hormones. We have herded them in, you know, unsanitary, inhumane ways. And so we have poisoned the food that we're eating as protein. And so we still need the protein though, right? And so then we have to become detectives and look for the, you know, properly sourced proteins that are going to be healthy for us, that have not been fed pesticide-laden grains, artificial hormones, that are free-roaming, you know, not being abused, not being misused. You know, so that the food that comes from those animals is healthy, right? Same with fish, right? The farm raising of fish is basically making fish poisonous and basically useless as nutrition. And so has to be caught in the ocean, right? It can't be raised in the ocean, right? That's another term that we're hearing a lot, farm raised in the ocean. Like that doesn't count. It has to be free, running around, eating, you know, the earth's food, not, you know, farmer's food that they put in a cage that happens to be in the ocean. Has to be, you know, somebody went out on a boat, you know, with a net and or a fishing rod and caught that fish in the ocean, right? That is wild caught. Then, you know, it's a little bit, maybe a lot of bit safer. But again, we've poisoned the oceans, et cetera. So, you know, we're not going to get super, super clean food anymore until we clean that mess up. But it's still going to be better than the alternatives and what we have done in the past to our food. And so Of course, then there's vegan or vegetarian-based proteins, right? Tempeh and soy-based products, things like that are very important. The one thing to know about those types of protein sources is that soy is now allowed to be genetically modified. And the thing to know about genetic modification is that the makers of your food have no requirement to tell you that they are genetically modifying your food. And so we rely on those that will put a label certification on their food that says it is not genetically modified. So there's no requirement for anyone to tell you they're modifying your food. So you have to look for those that distinctly tell you that they are not modifying your food, right? Genetic modification is not safe. It is not something we're going to see the damage from right away. It's something that will take a while to accumulate. The idea that we can genetically manipulate food is a bad one. We don't understand genetics well enough to be tinkering with the food supply. And so those consequences will come a little bit later, unfortunately. But for now, I would strongly encourage people during National Nutrition Month to really source your food well and to be a bit of a food detective, so that you're eating, good sources of protein. And then people say, well, how much, what's a protein? How do I know what a protein is, right? I say now with the information age, the way it is, Google it, right? If you don't know how much protein is in a bagel, Google it, right? There's no protein in a bagel. But there are some people who think that there's protein in a bagel. Because what you'll see is sometimes they will fortify the bagel with a couple grams of protein, and then they'll say it's high in protein, right? Well, yeah, it might be higher in protein than a regular bagel, which is 0 grams of protein, but 2 grams of protein is not enough, right? And so your protein requirements are based on your lean body weight and height and a lot of different things. And so a nutritionist would be your best bet to get to really help you target it. But a safe place for most people to be is somewhere between 90 grams. Some people need as much as 150 grams, right? Women need less than men because they tend to not have as much muscle structure. Our bodies tend to be a little bit smaller on average. And so we don't quite need as much protein as the genetic male. But, protein requirements will vary quite a bit based on gender, based on age, et cetera. But the idea that we only need 40 or 30 grams of protein a day is not at all the case. And I tell people, just look at yourself, right? Your whole body is made of protein. There's not a part of you that's not made of protein, from your hair down to your toenails and everything inside. All of your organs are made of protein. Hormones are proteins. Enzymes are proteins. Neurotransmitters are proteins. Now, there's also fats in those things as well. But vast majority of everything in your body is a protein. And so you have to eat enough protein for those proteins to be turned over. So our body is constantly regenerating itself. It's getting rid of old parts, recycling them into new parts. And it needs to have the protein and the fat coming in consistently in order to have, fresh, clean, strong amino acids and vitamins and minerals to power all that work. Your body changes over constantly. And when those proteins get worn out, damaged, et cetera, they have to be replaced by, new protein. So coming up on our first commercial break, you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Rove. We're live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milin Ryobe, and today we're talking about nutrition. And so Chinese medicine has something to add here in terms of nutrition and proteins. And so according to Chinese medicine theory, different foods have different energies. And so red and gamey meats, for the most part, are hot, according to traditional Chinese medicine. And then fish tend to be on the cooler side, right? And so when we translate this into our American medical language, more or less we're saying that something that is hot is more acidic, and something that is cool is less acidic or alkaline, right? Red meats are very acidic. And so if you have a lot of acidity in your body, you want to avoid red meats, right? You don't want to add to the imbalance. So if you're already too acidic, you don't want to make yourself even more acidic, right? So in Chinese medicine, balancing things out means doing the opposite of what exists, right? So if you're too acidic, you lower your acidity by eating more alkaline food. There is such a thing as too alkaline. I know that people will argue that that's not true. It actually is. So in Chinese medicine, we call this coldness. And so, coldness is much more, I don't want to use the word complicated, but much more, there's a lot more to it than just alkalinity. But one of the things that coldness means is alkalinity, in addition to other things. So sometimes an infection can make you cold, right? Or surgery, right? When you're in a cold operating room and something is opened, your abdomen is opened, or your uterus is opened through the cervix, the cold of the environment can go into those organs and you can have cold in those organs. That's different than alkalinity. But so generally speaking, fish, things that are caught in the ocean tend to be cooling or more alkaline. So if you're too acidic, you want to stay on the alkaline side of your protein sources. Vegan protein is also alkaline, right? But if you're too alkaline, if you're too cold, If you are a cold dynamic metabolic type, you want to warm yourself up, right? And so you want to have a little bit more of that red meat, and you don't want to be the one to avoid it, right? And so Chinese medicine has a lot to say about nutrition and fine-tuning what your personal needs are. Fats are the next macronutrient. So nuts, seeds, different types of oils, right, that you might find in certain fish like sardines and salmon, and oils of, for example, olives or avocado or coconut oil, grapeseed oil. All of these things are fats. And those are important to have in your food. You'll also, of course, find fat in protein sources, animal-based protein sources in particular. Just about every animal will have some fat on it. Of course, some animals more than others, like duck, you know, has a ton of fat on it. Whereas, you know, fish, certain types of fish, not so much, right? Vegan sources, not so much. Fats are really important because they are also just about everywhere in your body. So every one of your cells has fat in it, and it's necessary. On the walls of your cells, there's fat, and that's really important for proper cellular function. Now, there's a difference between that fat and the fat that's stored when we overeat carbs, right? So there's a difference between white fat and brown fat in terms of how healthy they are. So you want to eat your nuts and your seeds and have really good oils, you know, from fish and olive oil, coconut oil. Sources, bone broth, for example, will have really good oil in it. So that's important. Most people don't need to necessarily count fat. You know, we usually get plenty of it in our food. Eggs will have fat if you eat the yolk. So there are many sources that will have the combination of a protein and a fat in it. And then we have carbs, right? And I see a question here related to carbs. So I probably eat more carbs than anything else. Lately, I've been breaking out near folds in my skin. My friend says it's yeast overgrowth. She says it's from carbs. Any truth to this? Possibly. Yes. So yeast loves carbohydrates. Again, you don't want to overeat carbs. And so if you're eating more carbs than anything else, you probably want to crank up your protein. If you eat enough protein, you're going to automatically eat less carbs. There's just not enough room in there for both. And so again, it just naturally makes you eat carbs less because you're less hungry. The other really good thing about protein is it stabilizes blood sugar. So if your blood sugar is not well stabilized, then again, the sugar will get trapped in places you don't want it. It's toxic. It's not good there. And so it will, you know, other yeast organisms, bacteria will feed off of that sugar and thrive, right? And so they'll start to duplicate, multiply, and cause an infection, right? And so this sounds like you're having some difficulty with carbohydrate metabolism. It's not so much that people eat carbs that gives them the yeast issues, it's that they're not able to properly break them down, right? So if your metabolism is too low and you're eating those carbs and you're just not able to burn them, right? So your metabolism is like a furnace. And so it just, the higher your metabolism, the more calories you're able to burn. And so if most of us, you know, most people, their metabolism gets a little worn out over time due to stress, due to vitamin deficiencies and other factors, perhaps being too sedentary and things like that. And so your metabolism just drops over time. So what that means is you're going to burn fewer and fewer calories because your body is just not capable of burning more. So people think, well, if I consume a certain number of calories, you know, and I do certain activities, my body will burn those calories, but that's not really the case. So it's not really a matter of calories in, calories out, like we used to think. It's really more about the macronutrients. How much protein am I having as compared to fats, as compared to carbs? And am I revving up my metabolism by maintaining my muscle mass? Like that's one of the most important things to do is strength training to build metabolism so that your body will be able to burn that fuel. So if your metabolism is low enough, you could have a grain of rice and your body will be able to burn even those few calories, right? So you have to bring the metabolism back up so that the body can burn the fuel. If it's not able to do that, then yes, you'll be more likely to have yeast and inflammation. So remember, sugar is toxic. And so if your body can't burn that, it's going to store it as fats, right? Or you can develop diabetes. If that's not happening, if the body's not efficiently able to burn the sugar, efficiently able to make the fat, you're going to have inflammation. Sugar is going to be lingering around in your cells, in the bloodstream where it doesn't belong. And your body is going to not like that. It's going to trigger your immune system because your body knows sugar is toxic. So it's going to sound the alarm, you know, go get the sugar, go get the sugar. And you're going to have a big inflammatory response to that. And a lot of inflammation is from them. So it's not so much the carbs as it is your body's inability to burn the carbs or to properly metabolize the carbs. So building metabolism is really important, and nutrition helps you to do that. So if you're eating really clean protein sources, really clean fat sources, and good carbs, what's gonna happen is you're gonna rev the engine, and then you wanna go do some exercise, especially strength training, to build muscle mass, build bone structure. That revs your metabolism up. Cardio is a little bit different. So cardio, you're going to rev your metabolism up while you're doing the exercise. So while you're on the treadmill, you're going to burn those calories. As soon as you get off, you stop burning. When you do strength training, your muscles are constantly burning calories, even in your sleep. And so it's really important to do a combination of strength training and cardio so that you have, you know, both factors in place and so that your furnace has plenty of wood and fire in it. So you can burn and burn and burn those calories so that the yeast doesn't get to have any, right? Yeast is normal. We have yeast on us. That's just how the body is built. But they will overgrow if you're not able to metabolize sugar well. So I hope that answered your question. But what I would do is get some really clean protein sources. And if you know your dynamic metabolic type, you'll know what protein sources best suit you. And in our course, the Wellness Warrior 9-Week Transformation Program, we teach you all of this, you know, how to figure out what food sources match your dynamic metabolic type, how much of each macronutrient do you need in your nutrition and your diet, and how do we break that down into your meals. You know, we talk through all of that in our 9-week course. So I'd encourage you to book a discovery call to see how we can help you with that. But what you want to make sure that you're doing is knowing your dynamic metabolic type, eating enough protein, you will automatically eat fewer carbs. And if you're not doing strength training, I would make sure that you see your physician, get cleared, hire a trainer, even briefly, to show you how to use the strength training equipment at a local gym. And start really building muscle mass over time. And what you're going to find is that you'll have fewer and fewer issues with yeast or any inflammatory conditions, really. If you're eating well and you're moving your body so that your metabolism is strengthened, you will have optimal health. So I hope that answers your question. Yes, there is some truth to that, but it's more how you metabolize the sugar than the sugar itself. And again, if you're over consuming sugar and your body just can't burn it, then that's going to cause a problem. So again, if you eat a lot of protein, you're going to eat fewer carbs, and your body will pick and choose when it wants to convert the protein to carbs. And it won't feed yeast, right? It's not going to burn it in that way. It's going to only burn it for good uses. And so you can kind of starve out the yeast. But definitely get that checked out, see your physician. If it's yeast, you definitely want to get that treated, okay? So I hope that helps you. I bought seafood salad from a market. The label mentioned lab-grown meat. I threw it away. Yeah, we're getting inundated with cloning and genetic modification. I don't think anything good's going to come of that. Again, we won't see it right away. It's not like people are just going to start dropping dead when they eat this food. It's going to be the cumulative effect of doing it over time that is going to be problematic for us. And so, yeah, reading labels, we also go, we do that in our Wellness Warrior 9-Week Transformation Program as well. I train you on how to be a food detective, how to read labels, how to spot the poison, etc. So yes, good pickup on that. And unfortunately, next time I hope you see it before you spend your money on it, and you're able to find a label that's healthier for you. If I'm all protein, can I just not eat carbs? You don't want to be all protein, so I don't recommend that. But if you eat enough protein, you will automatically eat fewer carbs, right? Root vegetables are a great carbohydrate source. Beets, yams, yuca, potatoes, you know, those are all great carb sources. I would say, you know, use the FIST method, but just make sure you're eating enough protein. So what's the perfect plate look like, right? So we'll talk about that on the other end of this commercial break. You are listening to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Ryobe, and we'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milan Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milan the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milan is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Ryobe, and today we are talking about nutrition on National Nutrition Month. So if you want to learn more about the Wellness Warrior 9-Week Transformation Program, visit us at awakenedwellnessnow.com. You can take our burnout assessment, find out what your dynamic metabolic type is. We're going to be launching our next live course on January 11th, 2024. And so if you book a call, you can get a bunch of bonus content, join our group, and get started long before January, so you'll have a lot of bonus time to get started so that you have hopefully pain-free holiday when it comes to nutrition, and keep that sugar out of your system, that rum cake, those, all the chocolate and all the insanity that comes with the holidays will help you to make sure you manage that well, so that you get the new year, so that you hit the ground running in the new year. and then launch into our live course. So you're welcome to book a call with us now. Just visit awakenedwellnessnow.com. We have some free training on there to get you started as well. So nutrition, right? So what is the perfect plate, right? It depends on what meal you're having. It depends on your dynamic metabolic type, which matters a lot, right? So if you're too cold and you're having a lot of raw food, you're going to damage your metabolism even more, which means you're going to burn fewer and fewer calories and get more and more inflammation and have difficulty losing weight and even gain weight. You could have aches and pains from being too cold. So a lot of different things can happen. So knowing your dynamic metabolic type helps you know what to put on your plate, right? But in broad general terms, in traditional Chinese medicine, we have a very politically incorrect way of describing how to eat, right? And it's from thousands of years ago. And so it's just today, definitely not politically correct, but I'm going to use it anyway because it's very demonstrative. So it says to have breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper, right? And so breakfast should be the biggest meal of the day. Now, that's not the case for most of us because we have damaged our metabolisms, right? And so one of the signs of a damaged metabolism is a reduced appetite in the morning when you wake up. You should be pretty hungry within about 30 to 45 minutes of waking up. And if you're that person who could care less if you have a meal for 2 or 3 hours after you've gotten up, you have a damaged metabolism. Right. And so to rebuild it, what you do is you slowly reintroduce food, you know, earlier in the day so that your body can start to get used to having that food and properly metabolizing it over time. And so the perfect plate is basically for me anyway, I highly recommend to my clients that protein be kind of the hub of the wheel, if you will. It's important to have enough protein. So definitely the FIST method is one way. If it's an animal-based protein, a FIST size is roughly 20, 25 grams. If it's vegan, you're going to have to have twice that volume to get as much protein out of it. And so that's a good size protein to start. And then the next most important food group is vegetables, leafy vegetables, bright colored vegetables. All of these things need to be on your plate, right? So they are not necessarily, they count as carbs, but they are not calorie dense carbs. And so you can almost ignore them as calories. So leafy vegetables, you can pretty much ignore, even like things like bell peppers, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, collards, kale, lettuce. All of those things are negligible in terms of calories, and you should have a lot of it on your plate. Now, it matters if you are a cold or a hot dynamic metabolic type. So it's important to know that, because if you are a cold dynamic metabolic type, you don't want a lot of raw vegetables. So you want all that sauteed, cooked, steamed, but not raw, right? Now, if you are a hot dynamic metabolic type, then go to town on the raw vegetables. It's not a problem. And then fat, right? So you want to gauge, like, am I having an animal protein? Is there enough fat here? Do I need to add more fat? Did I saute my vegetables in a couple tablespoons of olive oil? If you did, then you're fine. Carb, right? I would suggest a carb in the morning. It's really important because you need to have the fuel to power your day, right? So when people fast and they don't eat, they've literally not powered their day. And what they have done is damaged their metabolism. And it's very draining to do that. So on the one hand, people will think that the intermittent fasting is helping them because they're getting rid of inflammation and they're losing weight, right? But the flip side of that is you're damaging your metabolism to do it. And so you're just going to gain the weight back, because when you're done with the intermittent fasting, you're not going to be burning as many calories as when you started the intermittent fasting. And so you're going to run into some difficulty there. So Breakfast is actually essential, unless you work at night, right? Unless you're not active during the day. But if you're the most active, if you're up and awake and you're doing things during the day, you have to eat breakfast. There's just no way around it. And so having a carb is important. Again, fist size. If you're having a potato, if you want to have beets or oatmeal, quinoa, whatever you want to have, roughly fist size is perfect. That's your perfect plate, right? That's breakfast. Now, this idea that we have to have breakfast food for breakfast is just cultural. We just made that up. We just pulled that out of the air. There's no scientific basis to that whatsoever. So you can have dinner for breakfast. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're nourishing your body for the day. But, you know, if you want to have an English muffin instead of the root vegetable, that's perfectly fine, too. But make sure that you have that breakfast, and it should be the heaviest meal of the day. Now, if you don't have an appetite, you're not going to be able to shove all that food in, and that's okay. So have something lighter. Maybe it's a boiled egg and some sauteed vegetables. And then you eat a heavier lunch, for example. But it's critical to eat in the morning. The reason for that is if you don't eat breakfast and you've been basically fasting all night, right? So let's say you didn't eat for a couple hours before you went to bed and then you slept 7 to 8 hours. That's 9 hours of fasting. And now you wake up, right? Your body needs fuel. It has to have fuel. There's no way around it. So if you skip breakfast, your body's literally going to cannibalize itself, and it's going to drop its metabolism because it's going to think you're starving it. That's just how the body functions. There's no way around it. There's nothing we can do to trick the body into thinking it's not starving, except by eating. There's no other way to do it. Chinese medicine, again, has some really valuable information here, because in the Chinese circadian clock, we see that the stomach has the most energy traveling through it between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. So that tells us this is when we're supposed to eat the most, right? And this is when we capture the food, and then it gets digested, converted into fuel, and then circulated throughout the body. That takes a good 2 to 3 hours to do. And so if we have not eaten breakfast at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, we're not going to have the fuel when we get to work at 9 or 10 to do that work. So we need to have the fuel to power the activity of the day. And then we eat lunch, right? Lunch is very similar to breakfast. So again, protein's the hub, tons of vegetables, and then whatever you want as a carb, whether it's, you know, again, root vegetables, some grains, however you want to do it. You know, and again, make sure you saute your vegetables and things like that in some good oil. Maybe it's coconut oil or avocado oil to cover your fat requirements, right? And then dinner should be much lighter. So if you're, you know, basically going to be sitting around in the evening, relaxing, not doing very much, take the carbs out. And just have the protein and the leafy, bright colored vegetables, and don't eat the carb, right? And so that way your body will convert the protein to carbs if it needs to for fuel, but it won't overconvert, right? You won't run the risk of going to bed with the sugar running around in your body that your body has no choice but to store as fat, right? And so those are the perfect plates I would recommend. I think we get. Good to have you back. Thank you. Yeah, I missed you guys. But yeah, it was, I tried to get back on here a few times, but as Rachel knows, I'm sorry, as Deborah knows, it was quite the challenge, but I'm back. It's all good now. So question, fiber supplements, are they really good for controlling blood sugar? They help, right? So the type of carb, again, root vegetables are really good. Grains are great. But the fibrous leafy vegetables, you know, and bright colored vegetables, they're all gonna have fiber in them. Some of them will be soluble, some of them will be insoluble, but that's really important to manage blood sugar. So protein helps you to manage the wild swings in your blood sugar, and fibrous carbohydrates will do something similar in that they'll slow down the absorption of the carb into the bloodstream. So yes, fiber does help to control blood sugar. Very important. Also helps you stay hydrated because it traps water, right? Question, couldn't I fast for a weekend to speed up weight loss? I've got a special event coming up and I need to drop weight quickly. Yes, you could, but know the consequences of that, right? But yes, you could. Could you do like a clear broth for the weekend, clear broth diet? You know, sure, you could do like a clear bone broth diet, something like that. But of course, if you have diabetes, you know, if you're taking medications and things like that, check in with your doctor first. So I'm not giving any medical advice here, but theoretically, could you? Yes, you could. You could also just have protein shakes for the weekend, right? I've done that, you know, when I wanted to slim down for something, you know, and it just helps like shave off a pound or two really quickly, right? So yes, you can do that. You can have just clean protein shakes as well. And again, if your body needs the fuel, it will convert those protein shakes to carbs and you'll have the fuel that you need. But if you're going to do that, make sure you eat often though. Otherwise you're going to, again, damage your metabolism. So just know the consequences of doing those things, right? So any fat diet, you know, and these crazy injections now that we're getting, like everybody's doing this, you know, and I'm not against them completely, right? I've prescribed them to some of my clients. But the idea that we're going to use this like a yo-yo, like every time I gain weight, I'm going to go get these injections and I'm going to get this weight off and it'll be okay, is very dangerous. We're already seeing people just bouncing back and gaining all the weight back. And then the problem again is you have damaged your metabolism, right? So anything that's not a slow and steady weight loss that is done basically by eating properly, exercising properly, sleeping properly, doing all the things we need to do to be healthy, anything that's not that is going to inevitably cause problems for us. It's going to damage metabolism. So the way that you want to lose weight so that it stays up is by actually building your metabolism. And the only way that I know of to consistently build metabolism is through strength training, building muscle mass and bone structure. That raises metabolism naturally. And then eating well, and then you will gradually lose the weight. But if you need to do a crash diet, then yes, you can do like a protein shake diet. You can do a fast for the weekend, but just check in with your doctor before you do that to make sure that you're not on any medications that you need to be mindful of. Or, and if you are a deficient dynamic metabolic type, I do not recommend fasting at all. So, all right, we are out of time. And so thank you so much. It's so great to be back. You were listening to Awaken Wellness Now, and I look forward to our next podcast. And until then, I send you many, many blessings. Thank you.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Mylene Riobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Mylene is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.